the white raging river, believing that I'd get across. I've made my way through some valleys and deserts, believing I'd never get lost. I've been at the foot of what felt like Mount Everest, knowing I'd have the strength for the climb. Through every trial, each test and temptation, one thing is sure every time. Over and over, again and again, God is faithful. Over and over, again and again, through it all, He's made me able to stand and survive, to come through alive when it sure looked like I couldn't win. Jesus is with me, so I'll send the victory over and over again. If you ask me why, I have no hesitation. God does what He says He will do. I'd simply say every battle has taught me there's nothing He won't help me through. So why should I dwell on the hardships and struggles when I look just beyond them? I see the way this will end is with great celebration. Deep in my heart, I believe. Over and over, again and again, God is faithful. Over and over, again and again, through it all, He's made me able to stand and survive, to come through alive when it sure looked like I'll claim the victory over and over again. To stand and survive, to come through alive when it sure looked like I couldn't win. Jesus is with me, so I'll claim the victory.
Thank you, brother. Great song this morning. 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. That's toward the end of your New Testament if you're getting familiar with your Bible. If you find the book of Romans, rather large book in the New Testament, keep turning to the right. You'll eventually come to 2 Timothy and find chapter 2 there. Just a minute, we're going to read the first two verses of the chapter. I want to say thank you to the church for all the kind notes and the monetary gift that you gave to my wife and me for our anniversary at the church and our personal wedding anniversary. Thank you very much. Very generous. And we certainly will look forward to spending some time away together because of your gift. Thank you. And thank you for the kind notes. They were just really a blessing. We read them together and just rejoiced in your kindness to us. Let's stand together if you're able to this morning. 2 Timothy chapter 2, beginning in verse number 1. Paul wrote these words under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Thou, therefore, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. And I want to speak this morning on faithful men with faithful sayings. Faithful men with faithful sayings. Let's pray together. Father, we love you. We thank you for the privilege to be in church every Sunday, but especially on Father's Day to celebrate with these good men who are here. Bless every dad among us today. Father, I pray that you'll use the message to encourage them, to challenge us all, Lord, even if those that are not dads, may hearts be ready to receive truth from your word, and may you accomplish everything you'd like to in our hearts today, is my prayer. Fill us with your spirit, both speaker and listener. In Christ's name I ask it. Amen. Thank you. Be seated. There's no way to place a value on faithful men. In fact, if you want to know the value of faithful men, just measure how hard Satan fights against masculinity and manhood right now. There is an assault on manhood in our country. There's an assault on masculinity, and truly, and even in our world, really. And in my opinion, we are experiencing great losses in this area, losses that have taken its toll on our society. Unfortunately, the losses in this area are mounting among God's people as well. You know, as we go further and further into this time known as the last days, it seems that the church is more being influenced by the world rather than the world being influenced by the church. In the area of faithful men, some churches are suffering. Now, I want to say this today, listen carefully. Everybody in a church, in a local church, is important. There are no unimportant people. Now, let's start with the ladies. You think of the role that godly women play in the ministry of a church. Where would this church be without the service of good, godly, faithful women? We would be in trouble. We'd be lacking a crucial element if we were without faithful ladies among the membership here of our church. And the same can be said about teenagers and children. One thing that is common about people who are passing through on their way somewhere and they want to attend a church service and they stop in for a church service is that they always examine the youth in the church. You say, how do you know that? Because that's what I do. When we're on vacation or traveling somewhere and we stop in a church that I don't know or maybe one that I do know, I'm paying attention to the teenagers. I'm paying attention to the children. Are there any kids in the church? Are there any teenagers in the church? Are they well behaved? Do they pay attention in the service? Kids are important to a church. And when you've got a church full of teenagers, young people, boys and girls, who regularly sit up and pay attention in a church service, that speaks volumes. So children are important, okay? But there is a group that a church must have in order to be strong, in order to carry out God's plan for the perpetuation of the faith. And that group is faithful men. Faithful men. The backbone, the strength, the stability of a church body is determined by its men. Not wishy-washy, mamby-pamby, weak-kneed men. The kind of men that Paul described to Timothy in verse number 2 as faithful men. Faithful men. Now, get the picture here. Timothy's a young pastor of the church in Ephesus. And Paul wrote him two letters. This obviously is the second one. And in it, Paul speaks briefly about the perpetuation of the faith. Paul exhorts Timothy to take what he has learned from him, from Paul, and pass it on to faithful men. In turn, these faithful men will teach others also. So get it. From Paul to Timothy, from Timothy to faithful men, to faithful men, from faithful men to other faithful men, to other faithful men, to other, and the progression goes on and on and on and on. Do you realize, church, that the perpetuation of the faith hinges on having some faithful men who will pass on the same faith that was taught to them by faithful men? That's what the verse says. Timothy, you take the things that I have committed to you among many witnesses, that means other people heard it, and you take those things and you commit them to faithful men who in turn are going to take what you teach them and pass them on to another group of faithful men. And it's interesting to me that Paul only uses one word to describe what kind of man to look for in this most important matter. The only word he uses is faithful. That's it. One word. Timothy, you look for faithful men. And fellas, you know what's good about that? Every man has the potential to be the kind of man that Paul is talking about. Everybody can be, every one of you can be a faithful man. He didn't say smart, and that's a good thing. You know, and I'm not being insulting here, but not everybody has the same intellect. There's some, you know, Brother Don Oswardy, somebody got tickled because he stood here, what, two Wednesday nights ago, and he said, I believe I'm saved. And Don Oswardy is brilliant. He's smart. I mean, he's smart. Smart. If it took Don Oswardy type intellect to be a faithful man, I couldn't be it. He's the kind of man Timothy's talking about. He's not talking about wealthy. He's not talking about talented. He's not talking about handsome. Well, that's good for most of us. Amen. He's not talking about, I see people nodding their head, ladies, good night. I mean, you don't have to agree with me, amen. You're supposed to smile and say, oh, that's funny, but not. He didn't talk about men of great physique, which is a blessing, amen. Brother Adam, great physique, I don't know, amen, all right, you know. He just simply said, Timothy, you find some faithful men for this most important matter of the progression of the faith. Faithful. That's all he said. And every man has the wherewithal to be faithful. And people, this is an important matter. What one generation has been taught, they in turn have a responsibility to teach the next generation, who inherits the same responsibility for the next generation. And on and on and on. And that's how the faith is perpetuated. Now listen, think with me. If one generation lacks the faithful men needed to transfer truth, what does that do to the next generation? It compromises the next generation to some degree. So this is extremely important, and it's not about how smart you are. It's not about how much money you can make, what kind of position you have in the community. It is about handing down the faith. The faith. It's vitally important. And I want you to notice something else. In verse number 2, each generation is to pass on the same. Do you see that in verse number 2? Thou hast heard of me among many, the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men. So this group, Timothy, got this body of faith, this truth from the Apostle Paul. It was not Timothy's to change. It was not Timothy's to alter. It was not Timothy's to come up with a new definition for it. He was to take the same thing he got from Paul and pass it on to the next generation. The same. Don't you change it. The tenets of the faith. Listen carefully. The tenets of the faith was once delivered unto the saints. That's what Jude 3 says. The tenets of the faith were at one time delivered to the saints. Faithful men don't change the tenets of the faith to accommodate the culture. Amen. Culture changes. Yep. Truth doesn't. Amen. Stays the same through time. You can't do nothing for the truth but the truth itself. It is what it is. And so Paul said, Timothy, you've got to find some faithful men. I've taught you some things. You take the same things that I've taught you and you hand them to faithful men who will take the same things that you handed to them and hand them on to the next generation, who will then take the same things that they got and hand them to the next generation. And folks, that's exactly what this church is all about, is trying to pass on to the next generation the same truths that we were handed. That's vitally important. Now, in verse number 1, I'm not going to go through these verse by verse because I'm going to get on to something else here. But in verse number 1, Timothy was told to be strong in the grace of Jesus Christ. Look at what it says there. My son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. I like that. I said I wasn't going to, but the Lord just prompted my heart. You know what I like about that? A lot of times people associate grace with weakness. And he's a gracious. He said, you be strong in grace. Be strong in grace. Then he said in verse number 2, he said, here, the things we just went to, you hand out, you pass on the same things that you were handed. Then he says in verse number 3, endure hardness as a good soldier. Now this is interesting. Be strong. Endure hardness. And in the middle of those two commands, to be strong and endure hardness, is this matter of handing down the truth. You know what that says, folks? There is a war over truth. There's a war over it. If Satan could, he'd change it all the time. He'd keep it changing. He'd alter it. So be strong and endure hardness, because this matter of transferring truth without changing it, without distorting it, without altering it, it is vitally important. So Timothy had been handed a body of sound, faithful truth from Paul. Timothy was to hold it fast. He was to remember it. He was to retain it. He was to adhere to it. Adhere to it in opposition to all heresies, in opposition to all false doctrine, which would corrupt the faith that was once delivered. I'm just simply saying this morning, women are important in a church body. Children are important in a church body. But when it comes to the perpetuation of the faith, a church has to have faithful men. Has to have faithful men for the perpetuation of the faith, for it to be transferred to the next generation. So fellas, you know, you think about this. You're supposed to be a good laborer in whatever field of work you're engaged in. What do you do? What do you do for an income? Well, there's all kinds of things sitting out here in front of us this morning. All kinds of things that people do. And in order to be that kind of laborer, a good productive laborer, you need to be knowledgeable about your line of work. That's necessary. You can't be knowledgeable about your line of work. You can't be productive in your line of work unless you're knowledgeable about it. Got to be knowledgeable about it. But there have to be some, and that's good. That's the way it ought to be. But there have to be some men who take on the added responsibility of being knowledgeable about the Scriptures, as well as your job. Well, that's the pastor's job. The pastor can't teach everybody. Not supposed to teach everybody. Not supposed to. There are men need to take on the responsibility, along with being knowledgeable about your work, your vocation, your career, how you make your living financially, the added responsibility of being knowledgeable about the truth. There's got to be some men who are faithful to learn the truths of God's Word. Men are needed who come to Sunday school and church services with a hungry heart to learn whatever truth is being taught or preached that day. Men who listen intently with the purpose of not only gaining head knowledge, but practically applying the truth in their life, and then someday passing it on. Passing it on. Passing it on. That's what he's saying here. Vitally, vitally necessary. You know, I I'll explain this. Sometimes I get a note. Somebody writes a note, and they'll say something like, you know, I appreciate that you have taught us. Or they'll give, somebody will give a testimony and say, you know, our pastor taught us. And people, listen very carefully. It's not an egotistical thing with me. Oh, I taught them. That's not it. It's that somebody listened to, learned, and practically embraced truth. I'm not important. Truth is what's important. And when it's taught, and men get it, and men apply it, and then that same man is able to pass it on, not only to his children, but to others and to the next generation. That's the perpetuation of faith. It's got to have faithful men. Has to happen. And again, the only word used to describe these men is faithful. Faithful. But Paul also used the word faithful about some truths that he felt were important for faithful men. In the book of 1 Timothy, Paul mentioned truths, listen, that he called faithful sayings. Faithful sayings. And you know what he said? We're going to see this in just a minute. You know what he said about these faithful sayings? He said they are worthy, now don't miss this, of all acceptation. What does that mean? Acceptation. Accepted. Accept. These faithful sayings that Timothy mentioned deserved to be believed. They deserve to be received by people in all generations. They are eternal truths. They should be accepted regardless of the circumstances around us. They're truths. and they need to be received. They are worthy. They're worthy of everybody accepting them and receiving them. And what better thing for faithful men to pass on than faithful sayings? And the truth of the matter is, think about it. If these faithful sayings are worthy of every generation's acceptance, if these faithful sayings are worthy of every generation's reception, then there's got to be somebody to hand them down. How will they ever be received? How will they ever be accepted? How will they ever be believed if nobody hands it down? Won't happen. These are faithful sayings. Paul said they are good for time and eternity. To everybody. Everybody. This is not an American Bible. This is a people Bible. These truths are universal. They're faithful sayings. And they extend and should be received and believed and accepted and practiced by every person in every generation. So that demands that there has to be some faithful men to pass on faithful sayings. Has to happen. Or the next generation won't even have the opportunity to get them. Turn over in your Bible to 1 Timothy chapter 1. Go back a few pages. 1 Timothy chapter 1. And look with me at verse number 15. Here is truth number 1. Faithful saying number 1 that needs to be passed on. 1 Timothy chapter 1. Look with me at verse number 15. What are faithful men supposed to pass on? Look what he says here. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Well, that's pretty obvious, isn't it, folks? Faithful men are needed to pass on the faithful saying of salvation in Christ Jesus. That's it. This is the most needed faithful saying for faithful men to pass on. Fellows, are you going to be a faithful man? Then say you're going to be a smart man, wealthy man, good-looking man, strong man. Are you going to be a faithful man? If you're going to be a faithful man, you're going to have to pass on the faithful saying that salvation is in Christ Jesus and Him alone. The faithful saying that needs to be passed on is Jesus saves, not the church. Jesus saves, not the baptistry. Jesus saves, not your citizenship. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Hallelujah, like the choir sings. Jesus saves. Like we sing in the songbook, wafted on the rolling tide. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Tell to sinners far and wide. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. That must be passed on. That's a faithful saying. Faithful men take faithful sayings and pass it on to the next generation. I was handed the truth that Jesus saves. Now it's right for me to pass on that truth to somebody else. This saying, Jesus saves, must first be received before it can be passed on to others. Faithful men are sinners who have received the truth about Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection and have been born into God's family, not through a baptistry, not through a church membership role. You came through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. You're born into God's family. And Paul considered himself the chief of sinners. The chief of sinners. The Apostle Paul. The chief of sinners. Every man who gets saved must recognize himself as a sinner before God. You know, I was thinking about this week. I have talked to a lot of people over the years. And you start from the plan of salvation. You take them to Romans chapter 3, verse 10. As it is written, there's none righteous, no, not one. Verse 23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And you know what these verses teach us? That everybody's a sinner. And somebody will say something like, yeah, well, everybody's done wrong. The attitude of, well, everybody has done wrong is not enough for salvation. You must move from that generic belief that everybody has done wrong to a specific belief that says, I have sinned. Paul didn't say he was one amongst a bunch of sinners. He said, I was the chief of sinners. Didn't matter about the guy next to him. Didn't matter about the guy down the street. Didn't matter about the co-worker. Didn't matter about his relatives. He faced the fact that he was a sinner before God. Let me tell you something, folks. Christ Jesus did not come into the world to save people who know everybody has done wrong. Christ Jesus came into the world to save people who know they have sinned against God. And they cannot save themselves. One of the most penetrating questions one could ever consider is this question. If we can save ourselves, why, oh why, did God send Jesus to suffer and die on the cross? Why did He do that, folks? If I can save myself and you can save yourself, why did God have Jesus go through all that? You've got to be kidding me. He went through all of that? And even after that, we can still save ourselves? No. 10,000. Look, because we are sinners, sin has tainted our every word, deed, and thought. We are helpless apart from Christ Jesus. That's why He came. And that's a faithful saying. And faithful men must pass that saying on. And once that truth has been received and one has been saved, a faithful man will pass on this faithful saying. It must be passed on. It must be passed on. I rejoiced here, it was a week ago, Brother Allen and I were talking, and he and Steve had been out on a Saturday knocking doors, and they happened to run across the cousin of a man in this church. And the cousin is lost, was lost. And they got into the plan of salvation with him. And he said, you know, he said, my cousin goes to your church. And he said, my cousin's been talking to me about this and trying to show me and talk to me about this matter of salvation. And the cousin, that man, let Alan take the word of God. And Brother Alan was able to show him the truths that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And that man bowed his head and trusted Christ as his Savior. What thrilled me, that thrilled me, number one. But Brother Alan, what also thrilled me is that there's a faithful man, and he's not an old man. He's an 18-year-old. See, you don't have to be a 28-year-old to be a faithful man. You don't have to be a 35-year-old to be a faithful man. An 18-year-old young man in our church passed on what he had been given about salvation and turned around and tried to help his cousin come to the saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. This is what faithful men do. Faithful men pass on the faithful saying that salvation is only through Christ Jesus. And you don't change it. And you don't alter it. And you don't distort it. You keep it simple because that's what salvation is. The war is on over that. You know that. How many Bibles are out there that have changed that saying? They changed it. I got proof. Put it up on the screen sometime on a Wednesday night. Do it in our discipleship class. Colossians 1:14 in your King James Bible says, in whom, talking about Jesus, we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. You know what the NIV says? Same verse. In whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Excuse me. That's not the same. Why on earth would any scholar take the words through His blood out of that verse when this book teaches that the only way to be saved is through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ? Why would you take that? I'll tell you why. There's a war on truth. Water it down. The culture's changed. You got to adapt the message to the culture. You don't ever adapt the message to the culture. You bring the culture to the message. That's the way you do it. Faithful men. Faithful men pass on faithful sayings. What kind of sayings? Well, first of all, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And there is no more important saying than that one. But secondly, and I'll be done. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 4. Look at chapter 4, the same book, 1 Timothy chapter 4. Here's a second faithful saying in 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 8. Paul is writing here, talking to Timothy. He says, for bodily exercise profiteth little. Now, some of you guys that don't like the exercise, don't build a doctrine on that verse. Say, I told you it was sinful to exercise. Bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe. That's a lot of verses. Here's what we're doing. These verses do not teach that bodily exercise is not profitable. They do not teach that. Of course, bodily exercise is good and profitable. But gentlemen, how long does it last? In this life. In this life. Look at the verse number 8. But godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is, which is short, and of that which is to come, which is what? Eternal. You see, bodily exercise profits for a little time. But godliness, dedication to Christ, serving Him, living holy, that doesn't just profit you in this short life. It profits you throughout all eternity. And Paul said this is a faithful saying. Faithful men learn to live soberly and righteously in this present world. Faithful men learn to say no to the desires of their flesh. Faithful men learn to say no to the temptations of the world. Faithful men learn to say no to the devices of the devil. Faithful men do not become physically intimate outside of their marriage with another woman. Faithful young men do not commit adultery by becoming involved physically with a woman before marriage. Faithful men do not stop at the casino or the slot machines and gamble away their income. Faithful men don't shoot their bodies up with drugs and fill them up with fermented alcohol. Faithful men live right. Faithful men live clean. Faithful men live pure. Faithful men live holy before God and man. They take this saying that it is godliness is the most profitable thing, not only in this life, but in the life to come. And they take that and they hand it down to the next person. It's a faithful saying. It's worthy of all acceptation. Did you see that verse 9? That saying is worthy of all acceptation. It means it's good now. It was good 100 years ago. It was good 1,000 years ago. It's good now. It'll be good 1,000 years from now if time remains. And by because it's Father's Day, allow me to say a word about my faithful dad who worked for General Motors and had to go out of town once in a while for his job with a group of men. And they would get around and eat their dinner together. And boy, the clients, they went to their clients. Their clients, you know, would want to wine them and dine them. And wine them they did. Sometimes the tab was $3,000, $4,000, $5,000 for 6 or 7 men. Because of all the alcohol consumed. My dad drank his Pepsi or his Coke. Bert, it was not Pepsi. I promise you it was Coca-Cola. Or his sweet tea. And then after the dinner, all the men, let's go down to the men's club, Robert. Hey, Bob, come on, we're all going down to the men's club. No, I'm going to the motel. That's what Dad did. And at late at night, when they sent a woman to knock on his door, who is it? Oh, I'm so-and-so. He just wanted to come by and see if you needed anything. No. And when Dad took over the superintendent of second shift, and in front of a group of all those foremen that were there over certain parts of the assembly line, she came in and plopped down in my dad's lap. He was sitting in a chair talking to his foreman. And she came in and plopped down in his lap and looked up at him and said, "What can I do for you?" She'd had something going with the previous superintendent. So it caught my dad completely by surprise. "What can I do for you?" He said, "You get up on my lap and go back to work." Thank God for a faithful daddy. Faithful dad. That's the kind of men we need. We don't need men who live loose. Who live loose. Loose living men. Loose lips. Loose hands. Don't need that. We need faithful men. faithful men, men who understand that the single most important thing after you get saved is to live for Jesus Christ. Serve Him. It's profitable, not only in this short time here on earth, but for all eternity. Faithful men are prepared to pay the price to be godly. They are prepared to live God's way, even though it means reproach will surely come. Verse number 10, Paul talked about the fact that he would suffer reproach. They will not be the most popular man on the job if they stand for Jesus and live God's way. Men, if you're going to be a faithful man, you may be a loner to some degree. You're going to be left out of the conversation about what your coworkers did on Friday and Saturday nights. They'll be talking in detail about their escapades with women. And your presence will squelch their boasting. You'll be left out of their dirty jokes. You may find yourself sitting alone at the lunch table. You'll be on the outside looking in when it comes to friendships. Faithful men understand the reward is worth the cost. They understand that. That's the kind of men we need. Being right for eternity is worth whatever cost a man may go through on earth to be loyal to Jesus. Whatever it costs you, fellas. And I want to say it this morning. We live in a day when faithful men may pay a price on their job. They may pay a price with their job to live for Christ, to honor Him. I chose my words carefully, on purpose, because we're living in that day where what you believe about your Bible and what you believe about your Jesus and what you believe about what's right and what's wrong could cost you your job. I can't afford it. You can't afford not to. The reward is worth the cost. With all this hatred toward those who love God and desire to honor Him with their lives, it could be a rough ride along the way for faithful men. But oh, what a reward in eternity awaits those who live godly in Christ Jesus. Faithful men are needed to receive. You reckon when Dad crossed through the pearly gates into that celestial city and was taken to the throne room where he stood before Christ, you think he regretted saying no? You think he regretted saying no to the alcohol? You think he regretted saying no to the men's clubs? They call them gentlemen's clubs. They're not gentlemen's clubs. They're perverts' clubs. They're perverts. You think he regretted saying no? You think he regretted saying no? Did anything? Whatever that cost him, whatever derision and laughter that cost him with his co-workers, when he stood before his Lord, it was worth it. Men and everybody. Ladies, young people, listen. Let me remind us, when it comes down to the end and our days on earth are just about over, there are two things that are going to matter. Number one, am I saved? Number two, did I serve Christ? Did I serve Christ? What matters what I have in the bank? Seriously? When you're at the end, do you know how much you're going to think about what you got in the bank? Did I live for Christ? That's why these are faithful sayings. They're worthy of all acceptation, every generation through time. These are truths that need to be received by everybody. Are you saved? I'm not just talking to men this morning. Everybody, are you saved? Are you born again? Are you serving Christ with your life? Are you serving Christ? And in particular, men, are you serving Christ on the job? Are you serving Christ amongst your co-workers? These are faithful sayings for faithful men. May God give us more faithful men to commit these faithful sayings to other faithful men who will commit them to others, who commit them to others until Christ comes. Faithful men with faithful sayings. Let's bow our heads in prayer together. Thank you for listening today. Father, I love your word. It challenges my heart. It has stirred my soul this morning. And God, when I stand here and preach to look in the eyes of men who I know are faithful men, that I know they have suffered cost. They've paid a price because they live for Christ. My heart is full. I thank you for these men. I pray they'll be challenged this morning, all of us as men. Lord, please challenge our hearts to be that faithful man Paul talked about. I pray that you'll help us this morning. And Lord, move beyond the hearts of men here, the dads here, to everybody. Help us all, Lord, to be faithful in this matter of salvation and serving Christ and passing it on to the next generation. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Let me ask the men here quickly, just the men for a moment. Fellas, how many of you men in the room this morning said, Pastor, whether you're a dad or not, you're a man. Pastor, my heart's challenged this morning. Stirred my heart about this matter of being a faithful man. That's the kind of man I want to be. That's what I want to be. And God moved my heart about it this morning. Can I see your hand wherever you're sitting this morning? Young or old, doesn't matter. Praise the Lord for that. Amen. 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 Well, let me encourage you. Fellas, in so many ways, men lead the church. Lead this morning in the response. And kneel at this altar. Just talk back to God. If He talked to you, talk back to Him. Let me ask this question today. Let me involve everybody. Pastor, I'm not a dad or a man, but I am saved. And I'm challenged this morning to be a faithful person. A faithful person. Pray for me. I want to be that faithful person. Yes. God bless you. Thank you. Important question. Please don't tune me out. Are you saved? Are you saved? Pastor, I'm not sure that I'm saved. If you're not sure that if you died today, you'd go to heaven, that means you're not sure that you're saved. Can I at least just ask God to help you? Would you slip your hand in the air from side to side, back to front to back? Are you not saved? You're unsure of your salvation? I see a little child's hand. That's so important. Somebody else this morning, a little child. But you're not a little child. You're not sure that you're saved. All right. If you're here this morning, you need to follow the Lord in believers' baptism, then now's the time to do that. Be a faithful man in that area. And let's be saved and let's serve Christ. Faithful, faithful men. Father, bless the invitation. Bless your word as it's gone out from the pulpit today. I pray in Christ's name. Let's stand together. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Our penis begins a song of invitation. The altar is open. I hope that you'll move. I encourage you, fellas, lead the way. If God spoke to your heart, don't be stubborn about it. Surrender. Be a faithful man. No matter what it may cost me. It takes a moment to kneel at an altar and acknowledge, God, you spoke to my heart about this, and I need to be challenged in this area. It takes planning and effort and work to go home, put it into action. Be a faithful man. Faithful man around the house, on the job. Faithful. Our Father, I bow before you this morning with a very grateful heart. Lord, thank you for this passage of Scripture. And I pray, God, we'd be challenged by it, especially us men, to be one of these type men Paul was writing about, a faithful man who received truth and then unaltered and unchanged and not distorted, passed it on. to the next generation through our life, through our words, our actions, our thoughts, our deeds. May it happen, oh God, please, in Jesus' name. Amen.